Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and the mindful pathfinder himself, Peter M. Fellows. And this week, you asked us, what can I do to make better decisions? Peter, can you give us an idea of what you'll be sharing today?
Thank you, Rick. It's good to be here at the Road Ahead Cafe, where you can always get warm buns and bagels served with a side of wisdom and wit. So what I'm going to give you today is a list of 7 ways to improve your decision-making. And just in case you can't remember all 7, another surefire way to level up those decisions that you face every day. So back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Sounds great. Frank, how about you? What do you got?
Life is a conveyor belt of decisions, I once read somewhere. If you can make a decision, you have a choice. And in order to be able to make a choice, you have to be free. But are we really free to make a decision? And how do we know that it is the right one? You make a lot of decisions every day. Probably most turn out for good, but some probably not. So what can I do to make better decisions? I will share some insight and tips with you while you set the conveyor belt on hold. You want to know more? Stay tuned.
Can't wait, Frank. So what I'll be sharing today is I remember reading something one time about effortless decision making. And I went back and looked in my notes. I found some things on it. And great, great reading. Just decide more quickly. Let go of worry. And your heart always knows the answer. All right. Let's get into your thoughts on what people can do to make better decisions, Peter.
All right. I've got today the silly, the surprising, those 7 tips I promised, and the surefire, the way to make a better decision. First, the silly. If you're having trouble making decisions, worry no more. Text We Decide or phone us anytime of night and day, Frank or Rick, and we will make the decision for you. No decision too small for our consideration, credit card only. Yes, We Decide, where we're often mistaken, but we're never in doubt. We guarantee that we will never let our lack of knowledge about a situation prevent us from giving you our opinion as to what you should do. But you don't need to pay us to do that. I suspect you already know plenty of people in your life who are only too willing to give you their opinion on what you should be doing. And now the surprising, there's an old truism that when you have a binary decision, one thing or another thing to decide upon, the best way to decide is to flip a coin. And that might not seem like a good way to decide, but there's actually some science behind this. Research shows that for many people, as soon as you commit to the decision-making process of an arbitrary flip of the coin, you sort of find you're secretly hoping one side comes up rather than the other. So that's the one that you choose. Now, the 7. I read about these in an article in Entrepreneur Magazine by Attican Tank. So the first is go for good enough. You know, you don't have to overthink every aspect of every decision. For most decisions, you can say, yeah, this is good enough. And I promise you, you will be happier if you do that. Aim for speed, as Rick said, be quick. Give yourself a time limit instead of putting off the decision until you have every last bit of information you could possibly leave. Give yourself a time limit. That way you won't fall behind or get left behind. Number 3, imagine the worst case scenario. This is called prospective hindsight. You begin by imagining that your project is now over, you've come to the end of it already, and it's failed. You imagine that your project has failed, and then you look back to figure out why. You imagine, well, what was it that went wrong with the project? And you're doing this because it's very hard for gatekeeper, your conditioned brain, to looking into the future to see where it might slip up because it doesn't want to slip up. But if you pretend that you've already slipped up, that the project's over and you've failed, it's easier for the brain to think of, oh, well, probably this thing went wrong or probably that thing went wrong. So that's a more effective way of making a decision which works better. Number four, weigh your options. When it seems to gatekeeper, the conditioned brain, that both choices are equal, you can get past that if you analyze the pros and cons of each choice. Gatekeeper often sees the two choices as being equal, but they're rarely equal. Five, put it on paper. Sometimes even a decision that sounds good inside your head, when you write it down, you go, it doesn't seem quite as good. Six, think small. Sometimes the best decision on a big decision is the decision to get a little more information or another perspective. So you can also try making a small purposeful bet, as it's called, where you try it a little bit. You go so far. You don't commit everything, just some things. And that way, if you're wrong, you haven't lost everything. And it's also easier to convince yourself to test out options because you know you won't lose too much if you're wrong. Number seven is consult with people you trust. Similar to writing down your decision, telling somebody your idea, your decision in itself, often when you hear yourself saying it, makes you think that doesn't make any sense at all. And secondly, the other person might actually be able to give you feedback that you can learn from. And number eight, I want to give you now that was the seven techniques, but this is the surefire technique. And that's what we call unconscious thought advantage, which is what you're tapping into when you ask the Pathfinder's question. They did a study to illustrate this. And in the study, they had two groups, and both groups were giving information on a situation. And at the end of having the information, one group was left to mull it over and to analyze it and to figure out the best solution. But the other group didn't have a chance to do that. They were immediately distracted by some other project or thing that just to keep them away and make sure they couldn't analyze any of the data they had received. Then the researchers asked for a decision on the matter. And the group that had had no time to think about it and figure it out and analyze it was judged to have made the better decision. The theory is that because the second group didn't have time to use their brain and think about it, it must have been an unconscious decision that they got. And since it was better, they call it unconscious thought advantage. Because the problem is that your conditioned brain, gatekeeper, has so many biases that are wired in over your life, so many worries that he or she often gets these things wrong. On the other hand, your non-conscious self, Pathfinder, has no biases except towards maximizing your fulfillment. It considers all the data, comes up with unbiased guidance, and gives it to gatekeeper, who often filters it out. So when you ask the Pathfinder's question, you largely bypass gatekeeper's limitations and get the guidance of your better informed self. Here's the caveat. You won't always be right, but you can always be all right. Want to know more about the Pathfinder's question? Well, just check out thepathfinderquestion.com. Want to know more about how to make better decisions? Hold that thought. Rick and Frank have made the decision to help you out. Back to you, Rick.
Great stuff, Peter. I love that. Frank, tell us your thoughts on this.
Well, I will give the audience six suggestions. So they've got home with a lot of suggestions to make a decision. So in the end, I think the best one is to flip the coin, like soccer matches in Europe always start. So to cut a long story short, we make a lot of choices routinely, and we make them mostly subconsciously using a combination of three approaches. The first is that we make use of mental shortcuts that reduce the burden of our mind. I've done this before, so I know how to do it. It might be very effective. The second one is that of a habit. A habit is a behavior that is so ingrained that it requires almost no conscious thought. And the third one is your intuition, the hunch, your gut feeling instincts, stuff like that. All can be very helpful to speed up the decision-making process, but are they helping you to make good decisions? A good or a wise decision might be not to buy a car that is just within reach of your credit limit. If something else happens unexpected, you have no money to tackle that problem. Taking mental shortcuts, doing things out of a habit, or over-relying on your gut feeling might not always be such a good idea. Here are 6 tips. Before making any decision, you can ask yourself the following questions. Why am I taking a choice? Or where am I making a choice? Why? What is it all about? What or who is involved in this decision I want to make? And why now? Why at this moment? What do I hope to achieve? And what are the goals? And what would this decision produce in the future years? Avoid the present bias and think about the long-term effect. For example, when you want to buy a house, much more things are involved than just getting a mortgage. One thing I would like you to advise is to talk to a trusted friend or a trusted advisor when making an important decision in your life. For example, buying a house and that kind of stuff. If you don't have any knowledge about it or not enough, check regulations and so on, because there can be serious consequences if you don't do that. Of course, do your homework first, but by asking you the questions I just mentioned and more, he or she can help you to think clear without, and that's important, without making a decision for you. Having the freedom to make your own choice is key. Sometimes taking small steps are very useful. Listen to episode 20, for instance, in which I talk about the Kaizen method and how to take very small steps, read very small decisions, to change and improve your life for the best. A word about habits. Constructive habits are very useful. You know how to lock and unlock your front door, for instance, and you don't have to practice this every time when you close the door. Remember those moments when you sit in the car and ask yourself, did I lock that door? That's a habit, and that's a constructive habit. Negative habits can be, well, think about drinking habits can be very destructive. A habit can also make you blind for looking for alternatives. In episode 15, I talked about the O'Hare window. It's an effective tool to find that blind spot, asking other people for feedback, just as Peter mentioned, is very valuable. What about intuition, your hunch, your gut feeling? The word intuition comes from the Latin verb intuere, translated as to consider, or from the late Middle English word intuit, to contemplate. It is foremost, for me, it is my inner tutor that whispers in my ear. It relays subconscious knowledge and insights and is part of my higher self or soul's wisdom. For me, intuition is something else than reacting impulsively, such an action results in making impulsive decisions. Often these impulsive decisions are based on pure emotions. Emotions yell at you. Your intuition whispers its wisdom. And one more tip. Before making any important decision, take a deep breath and count from 10 to 0. No, not from 1 to 10, from 10 to 0, because you're not used to count down. You're used to add the numbers. So your brain has to rewire itself, 10, 9, etc. It gives you the possibility to start contemplating all things at stake for a few moments. It helps you to have your mind crystallize on the purpose of the reason why you want to make that decision. Okay, what about you, Rick?
Wow, that's some good stuff, Frank.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Bring in the process. So here's what I think about making better decisions. Let go of perfection. No decision is perfect, but making one is. Get more information.
Yeah.
Try to ask internally and then listen. You probably know what the right decision is. Go for it. You'll be right at least half the time, and sometimes even more. And just smile after you make that decision and know that it's behind you. Seek that inner voice. You have exactly what you need for this to work. Let go of worry. There's never anything to worry about and action breeds self-confidence. Practice and flow. The more often you make decisions, the better they become. And the more often than not, fear comes from doing nothing. And when I got into sales, when I was a young man, about 25, my manager showed me something called the Ben Franklin close. And he helped me use this when I was in sales meetings. If a customer was having a tough time deciding, well, I don't know if I should buy this copy or Rick. I don't know, you know, I don't know if we should upgrade right now or spend the money, whatever. I would say to them, all right, get out a sheet of paper. Draw a line down the center and then a line across the top. On one side, put yes. On one side, put no. And then list all the reasons you should buy my copier and all the reasons you shouldn't. And I would guide them through that process. And then at the end, much like Ben Franklin did when he made decisions, he would just put a line at the bottom, tally the yeses and nos. And of course, of you know, as any good salesman, I would try to stack the yeses. I would give them tons of great answers. Yes, 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 yes. And can't think of any reason why not make them do that. And then, of course, at the end, they would see all these reasons why yes, and hardly any reasons why no. And of course, would always come out 21-3. Well, look, that's what Ben Franklin would do if we had copiers back in those days. Ben would have bought one. He would have definitely been one of my customers. So maybe the Ben Franklin close will work for you. Peter, any final thoughts?
Well, my final thought, I guess, is stop doubting yourself. Look what a great decision you made to follow us every week here at the Road Ahead Cafe. Now build on that and subscribe to us, or at least send me Dunkin' Donut gift cards. It's your choice, and I know you'll make the right decision, Rick.
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, what are your final thoughts?
Eventually, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences, said writer Robert Louis Stevenson. Every decision you make has a result. To make a better decision, ask yourself these six questions. Why am I making a choice? What is it all about? Why now? What do I hope to achieve? What are the goals? And what is the consequence of that decision in the near future? Or what might it be? And be silent and listen to your inner tutor. It will whisper its valuable wisdom in your ear. And then you may say, like entrepreneur Sir Richard Branson, quoting his famous word, screw it, just do it. Do you want to know more? Contact me and us on LinkedIn, or just go to our new website or my website, frankwise.nl, and hope to see you there. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Have a wonderful day and stay tuned to the Road Ahead Cafe, guys.
Great stuff, Frank. So my final thoughts, remember, just like making a really great pizza, decision-making takes practice and a few tasty ingredients. Thank you for making the decision to visit the Road Ahead Cafe today. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together soon next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.